Namaha. Obeisances again. Anirudhaya. Unto Lord Aniruddha. Rishikesha. The master of the senses. Indriya Atmane. The director of the senses. Namaha. All obeisances unto you. Paramahansaya. Unto the Supreme Perfect. Purnaya. Unto the Supreme Complete. Nivritta Atmane. Who is situated apart from this material creation. Translation by Lord as the Supreme Directing Deity known as Aniruddha. You are the master of the senses and the mind. I therefore offer my obeisances unto you again and again. You are known as Ananta as well as Sankarshan because of your ability to destroy the whole creation by the blazing fire from your mouth. You can repeat. My Lord.
My Lord.
As the Supreme Directing Deity.
As the Supreme Directing Deity.
Known as Aniruddha.
Known as Aniruddha.
You are the master of the senses and the mind.
You are the master of the senses and the mind.
I therefore offer my obeisances unto you.
I therefore offer my obeisances unto you.
Again and again.
Again and again.
You are known as Ananta.
You are known as Ananta.
As well as Sankarshan.
As well as Sankarshan.
Because of your ability.
Because of your ability.
To destroy the whole creation.
To destroy the whole creation.
By the blazing fire from your mouth.
By the blazing fire from your mouth.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Rishiken Driyatmane, Rishikeshen Driyatmane. The mind is the director of the senses, and Lord Aniruddha is the director of the mind. In order to execute devotional service, one has to fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Shiva prays to the controller of the mind, Lord Aniruddha, to be pleased to help him engage his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita, the 9th chapter, text 34, Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. The mind has to be engaged in meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord in order to execute devotional service. It is also stated in Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter, text 15. Matak smritir jnanam aponam cha. From the Lord come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Lord, from the Lord comes, anyway. Thus, if Lord Aniruddha is pleased, he can help the mind engage in the service of the Lord. It is indicated in this verse that Lord Aniruddha is the sun god by virtue of his expansion, since the predominating deity of the sun is an expansion of Lord Aniruddha. Lord Shiva also prays to the sun god in this verse. Lord Krishna, by his quadruple expansion, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, is the lord of psychic action, namely thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. Lord Shiva prays to Lord Aniruddha as the sun god, who is the controlling deity of the external material elements which constitute the construction of the material body. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the word Paramahansa is also another name for the sun god. The sun god is addressed herein as Nivritatmane, which indicates that he always maintains the various planets by manipulating the rainfall. The sun god evaporates water from the seas and oceans and then forms the water into clouds and distributes it over land. When there is sufficient rainfall, grains are produced, and these grains maintain living entities in each and every planet. The sun god is also addressed herein as Purna, or complete, because the rays emanating from the sun have no end. For millions and millions of years since the creation of this universe, the sun god has been supplying heat and light without diminution. The word Paramahansa is applied to persons who are completely cleansed. When there is sufficient sunshine, the mind remains clear and transparent. In other words, the sun god helps the mind of the living entity to become situated on the platform of Paramahansa. Thus, Lord Shiva prays to Aniruddha to be kind upon him so that his mind will always be in the perfect state of cleanliness and will be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Just as fire sterilizes all unclean things, the sun god also keeps everything sterilized, especially dirty things within the mind, thus enabling one to attain elevation to the platform of spiritual understanding. So, Namo Namo Nirudhaya Rishikeshendriyatmane Nama Paramahamsaya Purnaya Nivritatmane. So, Om Ganatim Padandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tismai Shigurve Namaha. So, before commenting on what I wanted to talk about today, just this one interesting thing here. When there's sufficient sunshine, the mind remains clear and transparent. In other words, the sun god helps the mind of the living entity become situated on the platform of Paramahansa. That's a very interesting statement. So, of course, the scientists have actually corroborated that, too. You actually see in some of the northern European countries where there's not enough sunshine during the winter, the people actually go crazy and get depressed. And it's certainly, it's a very difficult scenario. I've been there in the winter. And then sometimes people have to get these artificial suns. You know, they buy these lamps, you know, full-spectrum lamps, so they can just, like, look at them for several hours a day so they don't go crazy during the winter. There's this thing called SAD. It's called Seasonal Affective Depression. You ever heard of that before? Seasonal affective depression. Some devotees have indicated they have that particular issue. That means during the winter they don't get enough sunshine. And generally, nowadays, people are... this isn't the main thing I wanted to talk about, but it just came to mind reading this particular sentence in the purport. Nowadays, people are discouraged from getting sunshine. There was this whole scientific theory that getting sunshine... Of course, you know, you don't want to get too much sunshine and burn your skin off. But if you get any sunshine, you're going to get cancer. And therefore, you should get this, what's called a sunblock. And they even have different grades of sunblock. You know what a sunblock is? It's a cream you put on your skin. And it turns out, the latest scientific understanding is that the sunblock causes more cancer than the sun does. Because there's all these chemicals in it. And you're putting the chemicals leach into the skin, and then you get more cancer. And then another point the scientists just found out, you know, I mean, this is, everything the scientists say, don't take as absolute. Because then there's all different opinions on both sides. Another thing that's been said on this by the scientists is that when you don't get sun, then what happens, another thing about the sunblock before I get into the, if you don't get sun. A sunblock contains things that cause free radicals, too, which can also cause cancer. Anyway, so that's another point. And so when you don't get sun, you don't get sufficient, let's say, energy or whatever the sun produces, you know, vitamin D, actually. Vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin. Then you don't have that, your immune system gets depleted and you can't fight against cancer. So the most recent studies show that actually by not getting sun, you get more cancer. You know, so who to believe? Of course, I believe what the Bhagavatam says. It's not that you sit outside the sun like people do in the summer and on the beaches here in North Carolina and Florida. I remember when I was young, people would go to the Florida beaches during we would go and we'd try to make our skin as dark as possible. You know, we'd just sit out there until we'd start peeling. Especially the shoulders would get of course, we didn't have a bald head, so it wasn't a problem. Last Nirjal Ekadasi, not Nirjal, but last Ekadasi, I chanted 64 rounds, but I took a long walk. And I didn't put a hat on, so my head was painful afterwards. So because of the peeling. So it's not that you don't take sufficient precaution against too much sunshine. I mean, obviously, if you get too much of anything, it's not good for you. You know, grains and things are good for you, but if you get too much of it, then it can be detrimental. Too much, even water. You can drown by drinking enough water, drinking too much water. So we're not saying that, you know, just toast yourself until you become black and peeled in the sun. But sunshine, according to Srila Prabhupada, and according to some scientists, as I said, you can't believe scientists anyway. We don't accept science because there's always different opinions, you know. Sunshine causes cancer. Sunshine prevents cancer. So don't get confused. So anyway, what Prabhupada is saying is absolutely true, because if you get sufficient sun, your mind is actually very peaceful, much more peaceful, and your immune system is very, very strong, and you're actually be healthier. And that sun is the eye of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Specifically, it's mentioned Aniruddha here, but in the Brahma Samhita, it mentions the sunshine is considered the eye, and another statement is it's like the reflection of the Brahma Jyoti light. Scientists call it nuclear fusion. That's the opposite of fission. Fission means to break apart, and fusion means to put together. I'm not going to describe scientifically what that means, although I know it. So, but it is a manifestation of the Lord's energy, of the Supreme Personality of God's energy. Now, let's get to the point of what I wanted to talk about, because here we're talking about the mind, right? Aniruddha is a controlling deity of the mind. So, why should we control the mind? I don't find a good reason to control the mind. Because it's Kali Yuga. You don't have to suffer for what you think about. You know, previous Yugas, there was a good reason to control the mind, right? Because if you thought about something sinful, you got the karma for it. But in Kali Yuga, you can think about any damn thing. And you don't get any karma. So why should we control the mind? Anyone have any ideas? Thinking, feeling, willing, that's wonderful. So what about it? Next step to what? Yeah. Actually, when you think about something, but why shouldn't you get attached? What's wrong with being attached? Love, let's do it. So what's wrong with doing something? Yeah, so the point is that the mind gets... contemplates things. Of course, this is the second chapter of the Gita. That's one point. There's other points too. And sometimes the mind contemplates things that are good for you. And sometimes the mind contemplates things that are bad for you. And so whatever you contemplate, and we've mentioned this many times before, whatever you start to contemplate, you start to get attached to. I mean, it's really interesting. Just like the other day I was reading, there was a National Geographic, and there was this article about snakes. You know, who's attached to snakes? But I was reading about these snakes and just looking at them. Oh, aren't they cute? You know, they have so many nice designs on them and everything like that. There was this water snakes around Fiji. That's where I became interested. It was Fiji snakes, the ones that are in the water. So, and it's just, they're really beautiful. And so I started to think about them, become attached to them. And I think next time I want to go back to Fiji, I want to go in the water, scuba diving, you know, skin diving, whatever, and see these things. So, you know, just a little inattention, and you start to get attached to any damn thing, whether it's food, whether it's something, seeing something. You know, someone just mentions it. Oh, the mountains. Let's see, Mount Rainier. And you don't know what that is. That's a mountain on the west coast of the United States. Beautiful snow mountains, you picture it in your mind. It's, wow, wouldn't it be nice to be there? It's so hot here, you know, it's nice to be in the mountains. Or you look at someone who's, what's it called, jet skiing. Wouldn't it be nice to jet ski? Is it not much of it? Wouldn't it be nice? You know, you and I can go, nobody will like us. You go jet skiing. You know. Actually, there was a recent... it was a football star. He was jet skiing with his girlfriend. He ran into a bridge. You know, that's what happens when you go jet skiing with your girlfriend. I wouldn't have that problem. So, you come in, you get attached to things. Like, well, especially the most attached. I'm talking about girlfriends. Is the attachment for lust. I'll tell you one interesting story from the Ramayana about that. So the story goes as follows, that Lord Ram was helping Sugriva fight against his brother, Bali. And so Lord Ram killed Bali. And the reason Bali had to be killed is because he had violated Dharma. And actually, his most serious violation of Dharma was taking his brother's wife. We mentioned this the other day in class, taking his younger brother's wife, Ruma. His wife was named Tara. Anyway, there were a lot of beautiful monkey ladies there. I mean, when I read the Ramayana, I'm just trying to picture, what did they look like? I mean, they look like... There's the gorgeous ladies. Do they look like ladies or lady monkeys? You know, in my mind, it's thinking like that. So he got back the kingdom. So he had a deal with Lord Ram. And the deal was that he had friendship with Lord Ram. He was going to help Lord Ram find Sita Devi. And Lord Ram was going to help him regain his kingdom. You know, they made friendship. They circumambulated the fire to signify their friendship. But it wasn't possible to look for Sita Devi at that particular time, right after he got back the kingdom, because it was the rainy season. And during the rainy season in India, it really rains. That means you can't go anywhere. The roads are all clogged up. I mean, you can't. It's just all, everything is muddy. Just like when we first started here in Nugaloka, everything was muddy. We used to walk outside and up to our knees was mud because we had just cleared the land and it was raining all day. You can't imagine how much rain there was, right? I mean, I was cursing Indra. There was so much rain. I was throwing stones in the sky, you know, getting uncontrolled anger. So 4 months. So Lord Ram said, I'll remain in the cave here for 4 months with Lakshmi. And Sugriva, though, had just gotten back his wife. And the interesting thing is also, in monkey civilization, I guess he got his brother's wife, too. His brother had just died. I mean, I guess it's monkey civilization, right? You know, you would think that the woman would be in mourning for at least a few months. Or monkey lady would be in mourning. So he got Tara and Ruma. And so basically he was just like completely absorbed in lust. And because he was completely absorbed with lust, those 4 months passed like the blinking of an eye. Just like in the spiritual world, when you have Krishna's pastimes, the Rasa Lila, then the night of Brahma passes like a blinking of the eye. Right? Or a separation from Krishna, that's like a whole yuga cycle, or a limited time, yugayitam nimishena, like a moment separation from Krishna. So the lust in the material world is something you can learn about love of Krishna by examining the lust, not by being lusty, but by examining the lust in the material world. You know, because one is, of course, as Prabhupada says, like iron and gold, but they're both metals. You understand? They're both metals. So anyway, so he was absorbed and just like, and he was getting drunk on, what is it, date palm juice, you know. Like in Mayapur, they have this date palm juice that you have to drink immediately after you get it from the date palm, because after 2 hours, it becomes intoxicating. So there was one story I was reading the other day, the devotee was given it by the other devotees who were smirking. You know, I gave it to him 2 or 3 hours after it was taken from the tree. And the devotee, the ground started moving around him. Anyway, so you learn that that date palm juice is very healthy for you, but you're not supposed to take it after about 11 or 12 in the day because it becomes intoxicating. So he was intoxicated. And, you know, his eyes were rolling. And Ruma and Tara, they were intoxicated. And so the 4 months passed like it was one instant for them. And then after that, you know, right at the end, you know, Hanuman said, you know, you better do something because we're going to be in trouble. And so he did send some messages out, you know, let the monkey generals from different directions come. But he really wasn't attentive at it. And so... So what happened is the 4 months passed and Ram and Lakshman didn't hear a word, and then the rain stopped, the sun was out, The frogs were croaking. It's even described about the frogs croaking in the Ramayana. It's interesting. It's such a poetic exposition that you see all aspects, many, many chapters that deal with nature and the different aspects of nature, the beautiful aspects of nature and some of the ugly aspects of nature. So So Ram was getting so angry. Where is that Sugriva's friendship? He said he was my friend. And then he just like got so angry. He said to Lakshman, he said that, see, this bow and arrow that killed your brother, basically it still can kill you too. You can join your brother. And he said, Lakshman, you tell him that. You know, he's really angry. And then Lakshman got really into it. You know, you give Lakshman a little bit of an excuse to do something, and he really, you know, he's completely devoted to his brother. So he said to Rama, I'm going to go there and kill them all. And Rama just told him, you know, convey the message. But he said, but Lakshman said, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to slaughter all those monkeys, you know, send them all to where Bali is, you know, devastate, demolish the monkey kingdom. And Ram said, all right, cool down. I didn't mean that. I meant, you know, you just tell them it's time. But Lakshman went to the kingdom, and his eyes were just like burning red, like red cinders. So he arrived at Kishkind, and all the monkeys, they were just like shivering. Even these big, giant gorillas, like Vidvida and Minda, you know, and they saw Lakshman with his bow. It was like the fire at the end of the devastation, and they were... And he walks in, and he says, where is that Sugriva? And Sugriva, let's see, oh yeah, Hanuman comes in and tells Sugriva, you know, he's here. And Sugriva's just too drunk and too intoxicated with lust to even get up. Huh? Like, huh? And then all the monkeys outside got so scared they were screaming, ah! Or whatever monkeys scream. And Sugriva finally got up, you know, I was drunk and super, what's happening, huh? And they explained to him what's happening. He said, oh my God, you know, this is going to be dangerous. Finally it was decided that Tara would go because Lakshman was not going to shoot a woman. He had at least that much control. So Tara went out and described that basically, her clothes were like dragging on the ground and everything like that. Because she was just like barely dressed. You know, because she just like put her clothes on. She was also, her eyes were rolling inside. You can imagine a monkey's eyes rolling. And that, no, they wore clothes. They had jewelry and everything like that. They were sophisticated. It's not that the monkeys were naked. Not these monkeys. So they came out. She came out. Basically, you know, she was able to actually keep her wits about her. And Lakshman, being very, you know, chaste, didn't he just looked at her feet, you know, monkey feet. And because it was in the middle of the women's quarters there, you know, so Lakshman actually was a very quite reserved person. He was a very shy person. And she just explained that the problem with lust, that when you become attached to lust, this is the point, the mind becomes attached to lusty things. And then she gave the excuse. She said, look, it happened to Visramita. So we're just monkeys. You know, Visramita Muni, you know, when Menaka came, he just, you know, became completely entranced and forgot about all of his self-realization. You know, what do you expect from monkeys? And so if that didn't really appease Lakshman that much, but at least it gave time for Sugriva to get his wits about him. So when Lakshman finally came in and Sugriva was sitting on the throne, you know, more or less stable at that particular point, then Sugriva was able to basically apologize. He said, well, we sent some messages, the monkeys for the different generals will be coming and you have to forgive me. You know, he actually said, basically, I'm just a monkey. Using an excuse. What's it called? Denial. I'm just a monkey. I'm just a Westerner. I'm just a conditioned soul. You know, you hear all these excuses all the time. So anyway, so basically Lachman felt better, and then things became rectified at that point. But because of lust, the whole monkey kingdom was almost destroyed. So, I mean, that's a big reason for controlling the mind. And another reason is that one will only be happy if the mind is controlled. The uncontrolled mind is just like just going for this thing, going for that thing, wanting that. And one's always agitated. Bhukti Mukti City comes, like Alay Ashanta, as it said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even if one wants sense gratification or one wants bhukti, that's another thing. Mukti, I gotta get liberated from this world, I gotta get out of here. Too much, all the devotees are getting to me. That guy giving classes. Too much! That's a type of liberation. I gotta get out! Escape! So bhukti, that's mukti. I mean, it's not mukti in a traditional sense of, you know, merging in Brahman. But sometimes yeah, we get these messages on Facebook when we say something that's like too devotional. Some people say, no, you just have to let it all go. And be peace, shanti. And, you know, there's one girl, I think she thinks she's going to save me from Krishna consciousness. Anyway, on Facebook, you know, she's preaching to me. She's my guru. So the bhukti, mukti, or siddhi. I mean, sometimes people perform these different austerities. That's like, just like in India, there's this one person, Baba Das or something like that, who's become a very powerful television personality. And he's wanting to do good. He's wanting to stop corruption in the Indian government. But he's become very powerful because of his yoga. And he's perhaps one of the most powerful people in India today. I don't know if you've read the news about him. Anybody here read about it? No, he had a whole protest in Delhi to help stop the corruption, which is good. So one does yoga sometimes to try to become powerful cities, you know, powers over others, you know, control their minds. That's one I could use. So I wish I'd be a successful, you know, whatever, in ISKCON if I can control everyone's mind. Control your mind. Don't sleep in Bhagavatam. Be alert. Yes, sir. Anyway, so we wish we could do things like that. So, bhukti mukti siddhi kama. So, if one wants those things, one won't be happy. Sakalaya shanta, the mind will be disturbed. So these are two reasons for controlling the mind. I'm sure that there's more reasons. So the point is how to control the mind. And I think that's an important question. It's not that you wait for Aniruddha to do it for you. I mean, one might get the misunderstanding or misimpression or hear that you just pray to Aniruddha and just like, my mind's not controlled because Aniruddha hasn't done anything about it yet. Don't blame me. Blame that guy, Aniruddha. You know, I wish it was so easy, you know, you just go before the deity and say, control my mind. Whew, that was a relief. My mind is now controlled. But Krishna doesn't say that in the Gita. He says, wherever the mind wanders, one must certainly bring it back and put it under control of the self. And also the end of the sixth chapter, when Krishna says the mind is restless, chanchala hi mandata krishna pramati bhalava dridam Tashaham nigraham manye vayori vashudukram. It's restless, turbulent, obstinate, and the control is more difficult to control the wind. Krishna doesn't say, well, just pray to me. Does Krishna say that in the Gita? I don't remember that one. He says, by constant practice and detachment. So what is that practice? I was thinking about that. What is the practice that we have to control the mind? Well, I'll give my own personal experience. It's a secret. That, first of all, you have to have a sense of who you are, a sense of identification. That doesn't mean, you know, I'm Joe Blow, you know. You know, American or whatever. That's good. I like a little humor there. So it doesn't mean that. It means spiritually, you know, for bhakti yogis, that's one thing. We're talking about bhakti yogis. We're supposed to be bhakti yogis. Who am I? Spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna, servant of Krishna. And then further than that, than the who, what is who meant to do? That's interesting. What is who meant to do? We're meant to serve and please Krishna. So that means every time, if you're really focused, you know, mission focused, sort of, that every time you see something, think something, you'll be examining it. Like, Parikshit also means the examiner, looking for Krishna. You'll be examining it. Is this pleasing to Krishna? Like, for example, what I do is, like, if a negative thought happens to come in the mind, and they do come in the mind, like, all sorts of negative things, you know, that pop in the mind. That rascal! You know, that's the most common one. So, you know, that idiot, that rascal, that useless, whatever. You know, some criticism of someone comes in the mind. Even the computer. That stupid computer. So what I do is I think, is this pleasing to Krishna? Before I just start contemplating on it, I start to examine it. You know, whether it's a thought about sense gratification or anger or any of those things. You just say, you know, is this what Krishna wants me to think about? Is it going to help me please Krishna? Because my business is to please Krishna. You know, that is my business. That is what I'm made for. That is my constitution. Is this thought going to please Krishna? So as soon as it comes in the mind. So that's how to really avoid, like, prajalpa, you know, or criticizing others. Because then you just think, is this going to please Krishna? You think every minute that little voice should be in the back of your mind, you know, nagging you. Like my mother would nag me. So is this going to please Krishna in your spiritual mass of this thought? Even though it may be, you know, something that really, you really feel you got to get out. You know, you got to think about it. I got to think about it. I can't stop myself from thinking about it. But then you think about something that pleases Krishna. Like, and that's really what helps me avoid this whole friends and enemies thing. Like, even if someone says something negative about me or, you know, does something, you know, then my instantaneous response is that, yeah, you too, buddy. But then I think that doesn't please Krishna. Is that the way, you know, Krishna wants me to think? I'm his servant. So therefore, I'm supposed to think compassionately. So how do I get to the point of thinking compassionately? It takes a little while, you know. It's not that you can just like, okay, compassion, boom, you put the switch on, you know. Turn off the envy switch, turn on the compassion switch. Because there's no reason to be angry with anyone unless it's part of Krishna's service. You happen to be attacking Ravana, and I haven't seen too many Ravanas around lately. Especially amongst the devotees. Maybe rascals, but not Ravanas. But anyway, forgive me. So then you how do you think compassionately? You understand this is part and parcel of Krishna. This person is struggling, and whatever this person is doing, even though they may see me as, you know, their enemy or whatever, or criticize me, they're the ones who are suffering. They can't cause my suffering. I can only cause my own suffering. And my business is to try to understand how to think compassionately about each and every living entity. So we should have this voice always in the back, or this person looking at us, you know, that's called the intelligence. That's actually called the intelligence, because I know I'm supposed to be a servant. This will not please Krishna to think like this. And then you can catch it before it becomes too prominent. I mean, every one of us has these thoughts come out. Come up, not come out. They shouldn't come out. But, you know, they rise to the surface from God knows where. Confirmed. Okay. Enough of that. Enough of control of my lecture today. Okay, all glories through his divine grace. Shilabhapa, Shilabhapa, he died.